Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Bitcoin Banter. Rick and Tony are here with me. We've got some exciting news to get to. Well, not exciting news, some difficult news to get to. But Tony, we're going to start with a topic that is specific to the Bitcoin way because we had a wild incident in the last 24 hours. We were able to help save a client, but these scammers are out in full force. Why don't you tell the story, give the details as to what happened, and we can just kind of riff on that.
Yeah, man. I mean, what started off as a, you know, seemingly very normal Saturday night very quickly took a turn for what could have been a disaster. It was very late Saturday night, you know, nothing special was going on. Then, you know, an individual messaged in, you know, in a panic, in an emergency, saying that, you know, somebody's on the phone with him claiming to be from Google and that his account has been compromised and that he needs to reset his password and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And of course, you know, like, I mean, these are red flags that we immediately pick up on. And, you know, Andy, who happened to see the message, thankfully, you know, on time, told him to hang up the phone, you know, to shut down, just to ignore these people. But unfortunately, you know, this guy had been on the phone with these scammers before sending us that emergency message. And he had already done God knows what. And these guys got a hold of his account, and unfortunately for him, he had saved access to two exchanges that he deals with regularly, and where he still had like a big amount of Bitcoins just lingering there waiting to be withdrawn, right? But they were still on these exchanges, and these guys got a hold of it. They got a hold of it, and not only that, they initiated over $150,000 transfer off of one, all right? And so Andy tried to get this guy on a call. You know, he sent him a link to get on a call so he can understand the details more. But when he sent him the call, what's amazing is that the scammers intercepted this link and they got on the call pretending to be the, you know, that individual. But of course, we recognized him. We, you know, we recognized the voice. We knew it wasn't him. This was the voice of teenagers, American teenagers, I think. That's what they sounded like. And, you know, they were no insistent that it was him. And of course, we hung up the phone and what have you. And we knew it wasn't them. But we, you know, we contacted, you know, the connections that we had in the space, like a trusted, you know, crypto investigator who had very strong connections with these exchanges. I don't want to name them. There's no need for that. But anyhow, within minutes, he was able to reach someone there that blocked the transfer. It was literally 5 minutes away into the processing. So had this call not come in the minute it came in, this guy would have lost all his funds on that exchange for sure. Then they were already targeting the next exchange where we had already sent a message to someone that we knew there. That person had the night off. They got into an Uber and rushed back home from wherever they were in order to log in and block the guy's account in order to avoid this catastrophe. And so luckily, we were able to block these guys out. And eventually, we worked with him to, you know, reset his account and, you know, strengthen it and what have you. But this could have ended extremely bad, you know, in a matter of minutes. And this is something, you know, that I've been talking about for a very long time, that, you know, as the value of Bitcoin continues to rise, you're going to expect these things to happen. But what's worse than like a malware infecting your computer is the social engineering attacks. These, in my opinion, are more dangerous because you can't prepare for them. You know, like it requires a lot of good people skills. So when somebody calls you on the phone and, you know, gives you a story, you need to be aware enough to detect that if it's real or not and not to give in. I mean, there's some dead giveaways to someone who's working in this space, but for somebody who's never, you know, dealt with this stuff before, very innocently can be duped into doing this. And this individual happened to be this. Thankfully, at some point, he clued in and stopped talking. But he had already, at one point, already started putting some of his recovery phrases in a phishing site that looked exactly like the exchange that he was working on. How was that possible? Well, very simple. You have AI now, right? It doesn't take a genius to whip up instructions for AI to build a site that looks a carbon copy of something else. And that's exactly what these guys did. Thankfully, he didn't continue with that thing, because otherwise it would have been gone. And they were coming after his Bitcoin and self-custody next with questions. They sounded very nice on the phone, very pleasant, very trustworthy. Yeah, don't worry, blah, blah. And, you know, this individual happened to be of a certain age, you know, on the higher side, and very innocently was complying, thinking, you know, these people were genuinely trying to help him. And so, thankfully, we intercepted this attack, put an end to it, and got rid of these people. At the end of this, they got so pissed that they started targeting us on Telegram with messages, you know, swearing messages. You guys are stupid, you know, screw you, blah, blah, all that good stuff, because we foiled their attack. And so it ended on a good note, thankfully. But, you know, good habits, good practice, a lot of awareness is always required in this space. You know, like, you can't be, you know, flippant and nonchalant about your money. You know, whether you're doing self-custody or whether you think you're going to trust somebody else. I mean, these attacks can happen at any time, at anywhere. And all it takes is a moment, just a moment of, you know, not paying attention properly for everything to vanish. So yeah. That's what happened, man. But I'm very proud to say that we know, you know, our team, our swift action, our trusted connections, which we have plenty of, we have a solid network that are able to resolve pretty much anything at any given moment in time, the way we did last night. So kudos to everyone that was involved in this. And thank God this person is going to enjoy his Christmas.
Absolutely. It's a crazy story, and it's a really good reminder for people to be vigilant. You know, things like never entering your seed phrase anywhere that isn't on a piece of titanium or steel. Like, that's the only place your seed phrase should go. So if someone's telling you to input it into a website, you know that, you know, something's amiss. But yeah, hats off to Endy. He called me, and I was drafting a message to send to all of the, like, to the client, to his email, to on Telegram, wherever we had access to message him, to let him know that we were suspending support to him because we anticipate, or we thought that this was a scam. And fortunately, by the time I'd gotten that to Endy, I think all this had been resolved. So it was incredibly quick. I mean, that was maybe 5 minutes. I drafted something up to make sure that we had at least notified him best we could, and it was resolved. So scary, you know, stuff.
One thing to add about this, like, to just to cast awareness, is the people behind these scams, these are not idiots, okay? These are teenagers. They were teenagers. You can tell from the sound of their voice. These are kids that are born in the digital age, all right? So this is their playground. It's not something foreign to them. And they understand this game extremely well. And so for them to trick someone that they know has no idea what's going on is like literally taking candy from a baby. It's not hard, right? So you have to be very careful when it comes to these things, because, like, I went over the procedure of what these guys did. It was very, very smart, not to praise them, but these kids were really good. I mean, they were very quick, and they were like very chameleon-like, because at one point they jumped in the call pretending to be the individual, and then they jumped in a call with the client pretending to be one of our assistants, right? So, and that happened in a matter of seconds. So they were able to flip-flop fairly quickly. These are well-trained people that understand how to play this game. And so you have to be very, very careful in order to avoid this. And there are, you know, there are very clear red flags that, you know, you can learn to intercept. But still, you know, when you're panicked, you know, so it's very easy for your judgment to get clouded when you're scared. And I think this is what happened, because this individual, of course, knows better never to give his seed phrase and never to do certain things. But I believe he was genuinely, like, scared. And in a moment of, you know, thoughtlessness and panic, that's why he started entering these phrases. But thankfully, he stopped.
Yeah. Rick, do you have anything you want to add to that?
Just a little bit, really, which is, you know, I mean, kudos to Andy, right? Like that was some turnaround in 5 minutes to jump in, and it just it reiterates that I think the point that should be made is one that Tony made very well, which is hackers are, as Bitcoin increases in value, hackers are going to get more and more interested in it, right? Like imagine maybe 10 years ago, hackers would be more interested in hacking big companies, for example, right? Because that's where the value was. But imagine you're a hacker, right? You are, this is, you see this as your business. This is your way of earning a living, is stealing data from people. Well, it's far easier now to target an individual that doesn't have a cybersecurity team around them, you know, doesn't have a big business with people worrying about this. So I think what you'll see more and more as Bitcoin goes up in value is hackers going after Bitcoiners more so than they're trying to get into companies that probably have IT teams that, you know, have done at least something to try and protect them, whereas there'll be a lot of Bitcoiners with no protection, right? So yeah, just a really good reminder to keep your wits about you. And man, I mean, thank God, you know, this guy could have got completely cleaned out. So I just hope this message reaches a lot of people and makes them stop and think and go, right, okay, what can I learn from this? What are the watch outs? If I get a phone call like that, I'll know to ignore it and all that sort of stuff. So, yeah, very, very close call.
Absolutely. So we've got a story that we want to share, and this is one that's incredibly sad, but hopefully on the path toward redemptive. So this guy Chase shared his story on X. He was effectively, and Rick, I think you've spoken with him, so I'll let you sort of frame it. But he lost his seed phrase, got locked out of his wallet, and lost access to 0.88 Bitcoin. And he'd been working on a stacking goal to get to one. Why don't you share a little bit about what the situation is and what we're doing and what I mean, the help of the community, everything that's happening behind the scenes.
Yeah, man. Well, you know what? What a crazy, crazy weekend in general. Like on Sunday, Tony calls me. He's like, "You won't believe what just happened with these hackers." And in the same day, I managed to get on a call with Chase because quite a few people tagged me when his story came out. I ended up with a call on a call with Chase, and it's just a really, it's a really sad story. But again, there's really valuable lessons in there. The abridged version for people who don't know the story is, Chase had been stacking Bitcoin for a while. Like he's a full-on sort of Bitcoin maxi, right? Like fully paid up, and was, you know, he's a self-employed personal trainer. So he was keeping all his savings, his retirement, like everything, basically all his money in Bitcoin. And he did have a hardware wallet, so it, you know, I won't say which model. It wouldn't be one that I would choose, but he had a hardware wallet, and yeah, unfortunately, he well. The good news is he went to upgrade to a better hardware wallet, which, you know, is a good move. And so he went to go and transfer his funds. The problem is, I think, you know, I think something might have gone on here where he was transferring to a new wallet, which maybe had like a 6-digit PIN or an 8-digit PIN, and his previous hardware wallet had a 6-digit PIN. And there's some confusion here, right? Like he's dealing with too many PINs at once, and he's entered one quickly the first time around, hit enter without entering enough numbers, didn't work, tried again, didn't work. And I don't know how aware he was that this particular device, if you enter the PIN in 3 times, it actually it wipes itself, right? So factory reset. Now, you know, I suppose the real lesson here is you should back up your seed phrase, right? Because, you know, he locked himself out on this occasion, but I don't know, you could drop it, you could step on it, it could just, you know, you go to use it one day, it doesn't turn on, you know, hardware sometimes fails. And then the really sad news is that basically he went on a hunt for this, he had a seed phrase written down on paper, which he believed was somewhere in his apartment. And he's gone on the hunt for it, and he's turned his, you know, apartment upside down like 4 or 5 times, desperately looking for it. And, you know, after a week of looking, it seems like it's looking, you know, less and less likely that this seed phrase is going to turn up, unfortunately. So, I mean, the real kicker here, and the tragic thing that makes me really feel for him, is he says he can remember the PIN to this device, but it's too late at this point, right? So that must be extremely frustrating to know that if you'd have maybe slowed down a little bit or took your time a little bit, then, you know, just take your time, go through it slowly. Maybe this would have been avoided. So, I mean, man, I don't know what to tell you. You know, when I see stories like that right now, because obviously I have my own story of getting hacked, you know, totally different circumstances, but losing all that Bitcoin. When you know that it's someone's entire stack, you know, you understand that just how that feels. Like it's quite an experience, right? Yes, you've lost money, but there's something a bit more profound about it. Anyway, you know, spoke to Chase, like really great guy. So let's get on to the good news, right? Because that's just a sad story. I'm almost like, I almost don't want to tell it anymore myself. But Chase, you know, I got on a phone call with him, like really great guy. And man, look, you know, when I lost my Bitcoin, the community was what got me back on my feet so quickly and stopped me from losing my mind. You know, the guys over at CoinKite and NVK, they sent me a free cold card, and they've done the same now for Chase. The guys over at Stampseed, I know, are going to send him a stamping kit with that awesome hammer that they make, which is really cool because, yeah, let's not put our seed phrases on paper anymore, right? That's an accident sort of waiting to happen. And yeah, Tony, we spoke yesterday and you kindly said, well, look, when he gets all this new kit, he's going to get the full like Bitcoin self-custody training, like get him set up properly. He knows how to use his hardware wallet, knows how to protect his seed properly, or, you know, take him through all that, get him running a node, like the whole shebang, right? So that, well, the thing that helped me the most was just the Bitcoin community helped me get back on my feet immediately. Like, don't give up. And just start again, straight away, start again. And I think like by getting him set up, by improving his Bitcoin skills and giving him now a really good foundation and bedrock to say, right, I'm going to rebuild, but on a really solid foundation. I think that's something that can really change someone's perspective. And I know he's had like quite a lot of generous donations as well. So man, like Bitcoin is a built different, right? It's so funny. Like we argue all day on Bitcoin Twitter, like throwing insults at each other, saying, no, you're wrong, you're full of shit, you're full of it, right? And then you know, but isn't that wonderful, right? Like we all learn and improve ourselves, you know, by debating and trying to find the truth. But when it boils down to it and you get beneath the sort of prickly exterior of a Bitcoiner, you tend to find like a really good person who wants to see other people win and other people succeed. And man, like I can't tell you, like I had a crazy weekend. Like I'm in group chats, like loads of different people saying like, how do we help this guy out? I'm chatting to this one guy, shout out to my pal Noodle. I won't dox him or anything, but my pal Noodle, we're gonna maybe try and help him put together a website because he's like a personal trainer, man, and he's trained like MMA fighters and all this cool stuff, right? The guy's like serious. And I'm like, yo, man, I mean, one thing that's really cool, like imagine you got all set up with a new Bitcoin self-custody setup, and then you started being the personal trainer for the Bitcoin community and started earning in Bitcoin. Like, you know, just right, that's a, you know, you've had this big mistake, terrible. Now get your setup sorted and just become like instant sovereign individual. I only work for Bitcoin. I'm the personal trainer for all the Bitcoiners. I mean, you know, maybe we could turn this into a bit of a Christmas miracle. And I'm sure, you know, what I will say about Chase is like that's a strong person, right? Like on Bitcoin Twitter, a lot of people, there's a lot of big egos, right? Everybody's a genius. Oh, you know, I figured out money before everyone else, right? And, you know, and then people make a bit of money from Bitcoin, right? And they start doing financially well, and you can see their heads growing and growing. But most people I know in Bitcoin for a long time, they all have a story here or there about losing money or, you know, being screwed over or being stitched up and that sort of thing. And it's almost a rite of passage, but very few people are as strong as someone like Chase, who will come out and say, look, I made a mistake and I'm going to put it out there because it might benefit other people, right? You completely swallow your ego and you own your mistakes and then you get straight back on the horse. Like, that's something I respect a lot more than someone anonymously on Twitter calling him an idiot. What a silly mistake, blah, blah, blah. Like, we all make silly mistakes. We're all human. Everyone will have some things they regret in life, right? And, but Chase is the kind of person who gets up and makes it his own and pushes forward. So yeah, shout out to Chase. He's well on his way. Sad story at Christmas, but big shout out to all the Bitcoiners out there who've supported him. I really love that sort of stuff.
Yeah, I think we're going to drop a QR code here in the video. So if you want to send him some sats, I know I've done so. I think a lot of other people have. So this is what does make the Bitcoin community so cool, is that people are stepping in and helping where they can. And there's a lot of just really cool stuff going on in the background. So kudos to you, Rick, for pulling a lot of this together. I appreciate that. Tony, any other comments on this story?
Man, yeah, I know how the feeling of hopelessness is like. So I can completely relate to what Chase must have, you know, been going through, you know, as soon as he found out he lost access to his savings. You know, but you know, in hindsight, you know, in the moment you don't really think straight, but you know, at least from my experience, there's always a positive side to it. I mean, the good thing is that, you know, the whole community rallied behind him. We're going to get him up on his feet. Chase, if you're listening, you're going to be okay, man. And in my experience, you know, sometimes really bad things happen for a really good reason. And in my case, I lost absolutely everything. Same to you, but like literally everything, left with $70 to my name. But had that not happened, I wouldn't be here doing what I'm doing today. And my sense of being now is worth way more than the version I used to be before everything was wiped. So don't let this discourage you. I know it sucks. The feeling is not good, but it'll pass. I promise you it will. And there's a lot of good people that are going to be by your side that'll, you know, help you get up much sooner than you think. So that is my message. And on the other side, I don't want the story to be one that discourages others from attempting self-custody. Self-custody is not nuclear science, okay? Accidents happen. It's not because self-custody is so impossible or difficult or people are that stupid that nobody should attempt it. That's not true. Self-custody is just new. You just have to learn to do it properly. And then once that's taught to you, there's no reason for anything to go wrong. Accidents can happen to anyone, no matter what kind of setup you have. You may think you're safe in a bank or with a third-party institution. Then they get hacked. You get fucked. Whose fault is it then? So for those that are quick to criticize or jump to these meaningless conclusions, I suggest you know, take a breather, chill out, and let's just stay focused into being constructive and positive rather than being, you know, needlessly critical with things that don't make any sense. The Bitcoin revolution is self-custody, nothing else. There's nothing in the white paper that dictates anything other than self-custody and personal responsibility. So my message to the community, to the world, is do not let stories like this discourage you from being your own bank and taking full head-on responsibility into securing your own funds, your freedom money. It is doable.
Amen. All righty. So to everyone listening, if you do see a QR code pop up on your screen here or at the end, make sure you send him a few sats. Let's get him back on his feet. All righty, last one. So this is the only fun story that we have today. A story. So most people probably have seen Home Alone. So Kevin McAllister's groceries were $19.83 back in 1990. In 2022, they would have been $44.40. 2 years later, we're approaching double, $72.28. I think this is to me like the best illustration of the insidious nature of inflation and the theft that's happening right under your nose that most people don't pick up on. Like, they know things are harder, they sense something's off, but like they don't realize it until you put it in context like this. Rick, I'll let you respond to. I assume you guys have all seen Home Alone. That's not just like an American thing, right? Like that's an international phenomenon.
Yeah, no, man, I love Home Alone. Like, what an awesome movie. Like, it actually makes me want to watch it again, right? Like, it was a brilliant one. But yeah, I mean, you know, you don't know whether to laugh or cry, though, do you, really? Because you look at it, and it's like a funny meme. You're like, holy cow, that's like really illustrative. But then you realize the quite dire consequences of what that means, right? It's like, you know, Merry Christmas from Jerome Powell and the cronies at the central banks, right? Like, I'm really sorry there's no presents under the tree this year. I mean, the crazy thing is, like, if you go really deep down the rabbit hole, you realize there probably are more presents under the tree, but they're just made out of really low quality materials in this insane race to the bottom where everything we buy is disposable, everything is cheap quality, and it still costs you more. So, I mean, you know, what else is there to say? Like, the best gift you can give yourself this Christmas is opting out of the central banking, you know, prison that you've been captured into, and waking up and I don't know, maybe make a 2025 New Year's resolution to say, like, I'm done with this. I'm done with this, right? Like, because here's the thing, you know, I've been Bitcoining for 10 years now, and all I've noticed is that everything gets cheaper in Bitcoin, right? So, like, let's take the Home Alone film. Like, let's take a film from 2012 or something and figure out how much something cost, and then compare it to what it costs in Bitcoin now, and the number will be a lot smaller than it was. So, I don't know. I like these memes a lot, actually, because they're so illustrative. I don't know how you make the point any clearer, right? Do you want to get poorer slowly over time, or would you like to see your purchasing power increase slowly over time? And for anyone still choosing the former, oh, I don't even know what to say anymore. Like, I, you know, I'm at this point, like, guys, I'm like 50 newsletters deep on the website. Like, I don't know how many times I can find different ways to say the same thing, which is like, the dollar's dying, you can't buy anything with it, and Bitcoin will keep going up in value against everything. Jump ship now, or forever regret your choices. And you know, don't be too surprised when your grandkids don't come and visit you, you muppet.
Tony, what do you think?
You know, as bad as $72 sound, wait till you meet the $1,600 chicken, which is what it costs for a chicken breast in Lebanon now, whenever you go out to a restaurant. So brace yourself, because, you know, that level of inflation is coming everywhere. And so if you don't want to, you know, experience it yourself, well, there is an option these days, you know, and just it's very simple. Just opt out, upgrade your money from that worthless paper into something that actually has value. I was actually talking to some friends of mine, like a few hours ago. They're in Canada, and they're complaining, like painfully complaining about how expensive everything is, right? But then when you mention something like Bitcoin, they just don't want to believe it. You know, it's like, it's almost like it's too good to be true, that they choose to ignore it and remain in that painful predicament that they are for some inexplicable reason. Go figure. So how do you respond to something like this? So all I said was like, look, just look into it on your own, go research, do a little bit more reading so you understand a little bit more than what I'm trying to explain to you in like a few minutes here. And if you have questions, come back. But you can already tell from you know, the vibe of the conversation that it's not going to happen until they literally cannot buy anything else anymore. Already, and this is their own words, already their budget for this Christmas is like a tenth of what it used to be, right? Like, they used to have 12 people for dinner on Christmas Eve. This year, they have three. Why? Well, because it's too expensive. So how many presents are under the tree? Like two? They used to have like maybe, I don't know, 20. Now there's like, you know, just a handful. Right. Yeah. So, I mean,
I hope one of those gifts is the Bitcoin standard, right? Drum some bloody sense into them.
No kidding.
But a lot of people are like this, which is like, for me, it's just blows my mind. You know, like, you're in pain, like you're on fire, and you know, somebody's offering you a bucket of water, and you're like, no, this can't be water. It has to be like acid or something else that's going to make it worse. So you remain on fire willingly. Until what? Until there's nothing left of you, then maybe you'll believe that this is actually a bucket of water, you know, given to you for help. But the sad reality is, I genuinely believe that 80% of the population are headed off a cliff. Very painfully, and sad for me to say this, but pain is the best medicine. It's the best teacher. There's just no other way around it.
Absolutely. Well, guys, I think that's a good place to wrap. For everyone listening, thank you for tuning in. Man, we covered a lot of things, but if you the client story resonated with you, if you see the scams, all the uptick in foul play going on, go to thebitcoinway.com/podcast. We can get you into proper self-custody, and we offer ongoing remote support for our clients. So when you have a call, when you have a concern in the middle of the night, we can be there for you. Again, that's thebitcoinway.com/podcast. Schedule a time to chat with our team, and we help with online privacy, privacy phones, Plan B residency, everything you need to be a self-sovereign individual. Gentlemen, thank you guys for the time. You guys have a Merry Christmas. I think we'll catch up again on Banter after the holidays. So to everyone listening, Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays. Hope it's a good one for you all.
Merry Christmas, everyone. Thank you, Michael.
Yeah, Merry Christmas. See you later, guys.
Cheers, guys.